I'm Marco Werman, and this is The World. Hamas and Israel got in a few attacks and counterattacks today. That's been their nearly daily routine since Hamas took control of Gaza a year ago. But a six-month ceasefire is set to take effect in a few hours. Leaders from both sides expressed hope, though not confidence, the truce would succeed. And there may be even more diplomatic initiatives in the works. Lately, it seems Israel is engaged in an unusual number of talks with some of its sworn enemies. Matt Gutman has the story.
Israeli media scrambled Wednesday to cram in the torrent of diplomatic news. Here's the breakdown. The Israeli government confirmed reports that a ceasefire with Hamas in Gaza would start tomorrow morning. France announced Syrian President Bashar al-Assad would attend a Paris conference next month, possibly setting the stage for an unprecedented handshake between the Syrian leader and Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Olmert. And there are reports of an imminent prisoner swap with the Lebanese Shiite militant group Hezbollah. And all that before breakfast. By mid-morning, Israel offered its most public call ever for dialogue with Lebanon. Some Israelis are bewildered by the flurry of talks. Yuval Steinitz is a member of the opposition Likud party.
I won't be surprised if Olmert is trying to shake hands with Ahmadinejad, because what's the difference? Syria, Hezbollah and Hamas are closest allies of Iran and of Ahmadinejad.
But ceasefire talks with the Palestinian group Hamas are especially problematic, he says.
We encourage the entire world not to speak and not to negotiate with the Hamas, because this is a terrorist organization, and we always said, for us, Hamas, it's like Al-Qaeda to United States and Britain. Now we are violating our own principles.
U.S. State Department officials also voice some skepticism. Tom Casey is a spokesman.
Saying you've got a loaded gun to my head, but you're not going to fire it today is far different than taking the gun down, locking it up, and saying you're not going to use it again. So I think, unfortunately, it hardly takes Hamas out of the terrorism business.
In the past, Israel has been involved in contacts with Hamas, Hezbollah, Syria, even Lebanon, but never all at the same time. Some Israelis suggest the apparent diplomatic frenzy is designed to distract attention from the prime minister's legal troubles. There are five pending investigations against Olmert, and the latest he's suspected of having taken hundreds of thousands of dollars in bribes. He's slated to testify in July and has said he'll resign if indicted. Still, Dalia Shendlin, an Israeli pollster and political analyst, says Israelis welcome the news of negotiations.
In general, the Israeli public has come to a realization that there is no military solution to any of these, to the problems on any of the fronts, and that you hear time and again in the Israeli public that we all know what's going to be the end game with the Palestinians, and it's just going to be a matter of how we get there, which government takes us there, and how many people have to die along the way.
So you might think with the Israeli public and polls behind it, Israel might be able to knock out a few peace agreements. But even some who support the contacts say the chances of success are slim. Ron Pundak helped spearhead the Oslo Accords in the 1990s. He now heads the Paris Center for Peace.
I think that if Olmert would stay and be able to do things, so basically it could be an historical situation. Unfortunately, I think he will not stay, and I think all this will just blow in the wind.
But Pundek said, you never know. 5 years from now, the Thursday morning ceasefire could be the day history was made. For The World, I'm Matt Gutman in Jerusalem.